Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. Gang's all back. Eric Hodge, Mark Porter. Today, if you like recruiting, you have come to the right show. Huge recruiting weekend at Ohio State, and you should be on Bucknuts. If you are right now, it says 50% at the bottom. It's actually 60% right now if you go to the site. I got to change that. And you can read Garrick's What I Am Hearing on Recruiting Story that got over under 100,000 views because people love Cruton.
False advertising, Dan. Get that number up.
Yeah, we need some subscribers too. If you're on YouTube and you're watching this, I need you to go and subscribe right now. We are in competition with the Michigan site to get the most subscribers to our YouTube page. So you're actually contributing to the fight against the team up north by going and subscribing to our YouTube page right now. You can do it right out there on the screen. Hit subscribe, and we always appreciate that. I don't like to ask for that too often, but today's that day. All right. Huge recruiting weekend as June is now, has always been, and really still is, the number one month for gritty recruiting. Guys are on campus. You're getting commitments. A lot of the top players are committed, actually, at this point, probably more than usual in this cycle. But Garrick is going to bring us up to speed on who is here this weekend and why it matters and what's happened since then, et cetera. And later on, we're actually going to have a recruiting video, Buckeye in the Sky, on Angelo Smith. That is the last one we needed to complete our total Buckeye in the Sky coverage of the current recruiting class. So we've got some cool rankings and things we're going to do by position group coming up with that. But Angelo Smith, of course, younger brother of Jeremiah Smith. And there was an update on Angelo's recruitment in Garrick's What We Learned over the weekend, what he's hearing. So he will get to that at some point. Garrick, I'm going to let you have the floor here. Sit back, hit mute, and drink some coffee. You kind of put in context the biggest thing out of the weekend. There were only a few visitors, but they were biggies.
Yeah, there were four visitors in total. Three of them were not committed to Ohio State. One was committed to Ohio State. That was Prince Goldsby, the recent linebacker commit out of Missouri. Freshly committed, took his visit to Ohio State. Felt at home from everything we understand. James Laurinaitis is really happy to get him into the fold, and they really showcased how he's going to be used as a outside linebacker, pass rusher type guy. You know, the Arvell Reese comp, people are going to accuse us of being lazy, but I think it's a pretty fair comp, at least position-wise, for him right now. Obviously, athletically, they're a little bit different, but so he was one of them, obviously, and Mark's only going to hear this name, so I have to prepare him for it now. David Gabriel Georges, the running back, five-star out of Tennessee, who's actually from Canada. He resides in Tennessee, is from Canada. And LV Buckeyes already asked in the chat, does Garrick have a comp for DGG? I would say he's a big Jahmyr Gibbs is the biggest comp that I've heard for him. And so that is probably what I would classify him as of now. Big Jahmyr Gibbs. So that's a very lofty comparison, but that's what I've heard from someone that is pretty good at player comps. So honestly, mission statement all in general, before we get into the weeds of specifics, the three guys, Benny Easter, Marcus Fakatu, and David Gabriel Georges, I think Ohio State did a great job with all three. All three of them were said to have great visits. I think they moved the needle quite a bit for all three, perhaps to varying degrees a little bit. And now it's just kind of a wait and see mode. This is the first official visit weekend. There have been some decisions trigger pulled around the country, but I think with these three guys in particular, you're going to maybe see them take their time, take a couple more visits. In Marcus's case, he's on a visit right now. He is visiting Georgia and will be there until noon today. That's kind of why you haven't seen a lot leak out with Marcus, because he went directly to Georgia on Sunday, and there wasn't really any time to digest. Usually, you know, sometimes recruits, if they're going to take a visit in between there, they go on like a Wednesday to kind of sandwich it in. It was directly from Columbus to Georgia on Sunday. So we'll probably get a little bit more on what his vibe is kind of sometime this midweek, right? So Marcus, I would say that they did a outstanding job just showing Ohio State what they can offer him and the developmental plan, which has kind of been the biggest pull for Marcus in the first place, right? He posted a video on Thursday at the airport, and who's the first to greet him? Matt Patricia giving Marcus a bear hug. Larry Johnson in the background, just waiting to greet the family. It really just kind of brought back full circle the JTT airport treatment from 2021. That's kind of what the vibe that it gave me. And I think that Marcus came into the weekend leaning Ohio State. I think that Ohio State further solidified that. But the one thing that I would caution fans with that is that Marcus has traditionally been a very impressionable young man that no matter, depending on the visit, he usually has a new leader, right? So sometimes he gets very happy and impressionable on these visits and needs a 48-hour cool-down period before he kind of self-assesses and kind of really see. I would still say right now I feel good about where they are for Marcus, but the Texas visit's looming this weekend. Notre Dame's going to make a run at him, and you know, Georgia's obviously trying to put the finishing touches on what they think is going to be a very appealing pitch to him too. So we've said that he's going to be one of the biggest compensated players in the 2027 class, and next few weeks might be very interesting for that young man's camp. But obviously we've talked about him at length from what he can offer from a skill set wise. 6'6", 275 pounds. I think he's kind of a hybrid guy who could play five, could play a three, could play all over the defensive line, excuse me. And quite frankly, this is a guy that Ohio State is prioritizing on the defensive side of the ball. I would say he's at the short list for sure, and possibly you could make an argument that he's the number one target remaining on their board for the defensive side of the ball. The number one target on either side of the ball to me is David Gabriel Georges, and I still feel really good about where Ohio State sits with him. I think that the last couple months, Ohio State's strategy with him has been to make sure that his family feels very comfortable. That's why Carlos Lachlan has visited Canada to spend time with his family multiple times during different open periods. Carlos Lachlan probably has the best relationship with David Gabriel Georges of any coach in the entire recruiting cycle. So I think this weekend was just another example of this is home, this is where you need to be, because they know that he's not going to probably make a decision tomorrow. He's going to take a visit to Tennessee next week, and he has a commitment date for July 22nd. So he's not in a rush to make any decision, right? So ultimately, the vibe I'm feeling with is that I think Ohio State's in a really good position for David Gabriel Georges. I would take a little pause with the Tennessee visit coming up, because Tennessee has proven in past recruiting cycles, whether it be high school or transfer portals, that they are willing to do some crazy things to get a recruit in the fold.
Doesn't always work.
Yeah, whether it be the compensation or we don't need to relitigate the Legend Bay saga from December, but And I mean, that's why I would take a little bit of pause there, because, you know, you saw it with David Sanders, you saw it with Chaz Coleman, that they are willing to go above and beyond to get someone that they really like. And David Gabriel Georges, from what I understand to them, is like Ohio State, no running back number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 for them on their board. So, quite frankly, I'm feeling that Tennessee would have to do something crazy to win this recruitment right now. But Tennessee has done crazy things before to win recruitments. So, ultimately, I mean, it'll come down to where David wants to play. I think that his family's approached this with the right mindset. And, I mean, who knows specifically what the internal conversation is between him and his family and what his circle really wants. But from everything that's been out there in the public, I believe that David wants to be developed and he trusts Ohio State to do it. And quite frankly, they are going to compensate him very well if he decides to come to Ohio State, because this is the running back they've had their eyes on for 3 years, guy. They think he's better than any running back in the 25, 26, or 27 recruiting class. So this is their guy, and they're going to do everything they can to get him. And finally, Benny Easter. I've gone back and forth with Benny Easter quite a bit.
Tell everyone who he is first.
Yes. The Texas Tech wide receiver, commit, top 50 prospect in the country from Texas. Ohio State really kind of came into the fold for him in the spring, kind of student appreciation weekend in April. They pursued him before that, of course, but that's really when the vibe shifted to, wow, Ohio State might have a chance here once he actually got on campus, spent around time of student appreciation practice. And they've been pursuing him aggressively the last couple of weeks. And I've gone back and forth with a couple different sources because they've had varying different opinions. One, not connected to Ohio State whatsoever, but knows a little bit into Benny Easter, and said that, hey, man, this isn't going to surprise Dan at all, but there is a lot of resources on the table at Texas Tech, and they are prioritizing him. And from what I understand, it would be something very difficult for a 17, 18-year-old young man to turn down when you're factoring that into the equation. And Ohio State isn't the only school trying to flip him as well. There's, you know, Ole Miss, there's other schools that are involved, LSU, he's taken a visit to. But I have been told by another source that if he was going to flip to any school, they think it would probably be Ohio State. He has a Texas Tech visit coming up in a couple of weeks, so they're going to get a chance to up the ante, if you will. You know, they've not been afraid to do that. They're going to reassess where they are with him and say, all right, maybe they'll say, what's it going to take? Or maybe they're just going to reaffirm that he's going to be their guy to come in, play early as a freshman. We'll throw 10 passes a game to you, et cetera, because he's that type of talent. But I've gone back and forth all week on where I think Benny Easter fits into Ohio State. And I've picked up some cautious optimism from Ohio State here. I did a If I Had to Predict Right Now piece before the official visit weekend went, and I went with Texas Tech over Ohio State. And gun to my head, I probably would still pick Texas Tech, but it's a lot closer than some people thought it might be coming into the weekend. And quite frankly, Ohio State has done enough to give him second thoughts and give him something to really think about. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Buckeyes ultimately won out in the end.
Has Ohio State ever outbagged someone over a player? Steve asks. Jeremiah's on the team. I imagine that cost a pretty penny, but I guess Miami might have been offering more. I don't know the answer to that. And by the way,
without giving specifics, yes.
Yeah, also, I wouldn't believe anybody. Yes. There's no – I'm trying to think who could tell me that where I would actually believe them. I may need to actually see their bank statements, and even then it would be AI. So I don't think that happens. Mark, your vibe on what you hear about the weekend as someone who is close to the scene?
Well, really quick, before Mark starts, responding to a comment in LV Buckeyes, do I feel better now about David Gabriel Georges than the 51% a couple of weeks ago? Yes, I would say right now I would put it at 60-40 Ohio State.
There you go. Yes. 9% weekend, strong. Mm-hmm. Marcus, your vibe on the whole deal?
Talking to agents, they are the ones that would know if their client was getting – so I've talked to a couple agents, and yeah, these battles go back and forth, but there is drama and it is appealing to talk about, but it's not as often, you know. There was a tweet by like the OSHAA and a lot of reporters that I think in Ohio there were 45 NIL deals for high school kids, and only two of them were significant. The rest of them were for like a free pizza or something. So, you know, there are going to be people tracking these deals, even at the lower levels. And I think we're going to start going to have facts on, you know, what the bids actually were, hopefully in the future, as the NCAA maybe put some guardrails on this where you have to report. I think without knowing facts, Dan, I'm sure Ohio State has won the bidding war on players. Every player that they take, it's in their top 10, is some sort of a bidding war. I'm sure they're not losing, you know, 10 out of 10 every year and still getting players. The David Gabriel Georges, just as you were talking, here's why he's so important. The NFL has devalued running backs. They kind of tell you that you can running back by committee this position and make do. But there are certain humans that are just different. You know, the three down running back, that elusive guy that like 20 years ago, Emmitt Smith just stayed in for 99% of the snaps. You know, the Jim Browns, these guys that just, you don't want to take them out.
I think the modern comparison here, ironically, would be Bijan Robinson, which is ironic in our case, of course.
Yeah. And that type. And there's, I think in the NFL, there might be three or four of those guys. Bijan, Gibbs, Jeremiah Love is being put in that category before he's done anything. But a lot of running backs in the NFL are good, but they kind of have a caddy. Okay. Now, these force multiplier running backs, and that's kind of what the word you have to use, force multiplier. When you have a running back who's a half a step faster than the rest of the league, not just, you know, a half step faster than other guys. Bijan and Gibbs and some of these guys are different than everyone else in the NFL. Jeremiah Love is supposed to be that.
I'm just saying, you're talking about the impression of him. He got picked as a force multiplier, not as a running back.
110%, Dan. That's why I said when he got picked like that, I'm like, you better know what you're doing, because he has to be the force multiplier back. Now, what is the force multiplier back? This is a game of inches. Okay, and your linemen hold blocks, and let's go. They hold up for 2.7 seconds. This running back is going to hit the running back about 0.2 faster than normal guys. He's going to be about a step ahead of someone. After about 10 steps, he's going to be a little further through the hole than most running backs. So he is inches personified. Whether you're throwing him a swing pass, whether it's man-to-man and he's beating somebody, it's all these inches personified where he's going to break away more. He's going to add two or three more yards to a run. If the hole was blocked for 5 yards, where most running backs would run for 5 yards and be tackled, the force multiplier back should get more than that. So that's why this is special. And
he's also, hold on a sec, I think it also means now that you're an elite receiver, because Love, I think it was talked about, he's not a one position guy, because they said they could line him up in the slot or even outside at times, and he could run routes. So
yeah,
we talk about versatility or hybrid, it's now versatility.
That's 100%. You have to be that guy if you're going to be paid like this, talked right. about like this, you know, fawned after. And I think this Georges, I think he's it. I mean, the film, he's jumping off the high school tape, just like Jeremiah Love does that transfer, probably like high percentage. And same with, you know, Jeremiah Love does that transfer. Yes, we think it does. A lot of scouts put their careers on drafting them where they did, and Ohio State's going to put a little money behind this guy. So that's why we're so excited about him. Kamon Spell was the other running back in this class over in Pennsylvania that might have had that type of tag to him, the force multiplier. So there were two in this class, but yeah, there's one left right now, and it's all a circle the wagons that bring him aboard.
It's like a 5-tool player in baseball. He can run between the tackles. He can get you short yards. He can get you the long runs. You know, he's got breakaway speed. So bigger, stronger, faster. At some point in time, it just comes down to that, and he has got it. All right, so where do we go from here, Ger? It doesn't feel like there's any impending commitments. Do we have any other major visits scheduled? What does the rest of June look like in general? How do you feel about it?
No impending commitments as of right now. Obviously, David Gabriel Georges is going to make a decision July 22nd. Could he feasibly do one earlier? I mean, sure. After the Tennessee visit week this weekend, you know, the other two schools that are set to get visits from him are right now Ole Miss and Georgia, and Georgia has Spell committed. So put two and two together, you probably can't make the math work there for two top of the board running backs. They're going to get a couple interesting visitors on campus this weekend. Still configuring different visits and all that, so don't take this. We'll do more of an official visit weekend preview on Thursday, but some names that I can give you. Wyatt Smith, new Ohio State defensive end commit, he'll be there. I think Kalon Bailey is expected to take a visit this weekend, the Glenville linebacker. Angelo Smith, who we're going to talk about a little bit later in the show, he'll be there, which will be very important for reasons that we'll discuss once we discuss Angelo. And one thing I will say kind of that kind of ties all this together is, so if they didn't get David Gabriel Georges for whatever reason, I think that their backup plan was going to be Nigel Newkirk, a Georgia running back. Well, he's off the board, and he committed to Alabama on Sunday on his official visit. But they do have another running back come in from Louisiana named Jaden Miles. He's supposed to be there this weekend. And that's working on a couple names, might have two or three in there. Won't say it quite yet. If I do get confirmation on those, you'll hear it on Bucknuts. But so those are kind of what we can discuss on Thursday and the updates on their recruitment that you'll get.
Let's take some questions from the gallery here, and then we will dive deep on Angelo Smith and Brian Hartline trying to crash a Smith party. Mm-hmm. All right, this has come up in a couple cases here. Why did the Columbus tight end, that is Jordan Carhoff, favorite target of Northwestern commitment R.J. Day, why did he commit to Virginia Tech and James Franklin? Was Ohio State not going to take his commitment? We've talked about Jordan Carhoff at length, seen plenty of him. Mark, you would probably be closer to the flame on this one. I just get the sense that he may not have been their priority at tight end, but I could be wrong.
That's the common sense Occam's razor, you know, excuse right there. What's the, you know, most common or what's most probable thing? Yeah, he probably could have went to Ohio State. And the line of communication, I mean, whether, you know, Coach Day's at every game, knows everything, they have a very open line of communication. I watched Ryan Day work with him at the showcase a couple weeks ago. So there was a communication there, and I'm sure there's no hard feelings or anything. But, hey, if you come to Buckeyes, this is where you are. And Ohio State has already let D'Angelo White, the other premier tight end in Ohio, go to Louisville. And they're letting this one escape to, you know, Virginia Tech. So, Garrick, you may have to fill us in on who's the national tight end that's going to replace this guy and, you know, what they're actually looking at. But we've said this all along.
Let's do that. But also, does Carhoff really fit the Ohio State tight end mold? Does he? I mean, maybe he could grow into that. But seems to me the guys that are doubling down on or the Hunter Welsings are going to go after – They always want kind of more of a bruiser there.
Carhoff definitely had a more of a receiving body, okay, which, you know, is not your Ohio State 6'5", go slam five techniques. You're right. But Ohio State also has a stable of tight ends these days, much like a receiver room. So sometimes you can say, hey, you know, our inline Y is this, and you're going to be our H or our slot or whatever we're going to use you for. Almost like Damarian Witten could have been used like in a role like that, but he kind of stayed at receiver. There's all kinds of.
That's what I'm saying. Where is he?
In Miami of Ohio.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's like you got to be really good to be a skilled tight end to get on the field early, and no one wants to wait anymore. So I just think it would be a challenge.
So we're saying the quiet part out loud without saying it. That yeah, he wasn't a 6'5" kid. He was given an offer and an opportunity to be a Buckeye because he is a talented tight end. Obviously, Virginia Tech is ecstatic to have him and will develop him. And if he came to Ohio State, he would probably find his, but might not be as early. And we've made this all we do on this podcast is talk about Ohio State would probably give him X amount of dollars. Virginia Tech's going to up that, and the kid's going to make a financial decision. And it's not about running out of the tunnel and scarlet and gray the way it used to be. But yeah, I like the RJ Day connection with Carhoff. I watched that actually win their playoff game in overtime. Yep. Carhoff, we've talked about him a bunch. Now, when I went to their showcase, Carhoff is adding weight, and he was lined up at tight end exclusively. So he's making a push to say, okay, guys, I realize that you didn't see a lot of blocking on my tape in the past, which in most cases, Ohio State would never offer a tight end who was that one-sided. Like, there's only receiving highlights on your film, and you want to play tight end? How do we know you can block at the Big Ten level? So, you know, they gave Jordan a little bit of a, like, hey, we know you're going to be able to get here and do this, but.
Let me ask you a question right there. Do you think him getting an offer from Ohio State aided his recruitment nationally?
Of course.
Okay, of course. So wouldn't you do that if it was your son's buddy?
There are things like that that happen, but I still think.
No, you can play.
Both things. I think both things can be true.
Carhoff. Yeah. Saying if you could do it, you'd do it.
Yeah. I think if he said I'm committing to Ohio State, they take his commitment. And like you're saying, he's going to go in that room as the receiving type of tight end, and you're not going to see him playing a fullback role or you know blocking five techniques. But maybe at Virginia Tech, he does have a little more of a role sooner. This is going to be a repeating theme, guys. And I know
Garrett. Also, like,
yep.
I want to bring up something else. I like to call it the Ohio Mulligan program. Go to Virginia Tech, get a bunch of reps. Come here when the spot opens up full time, when you've gained 25 pounds and shown you could pull in 60 receptions, and we'll pick you up, and then you go the Max Clare route, go in the second round, and everyone's a happy camper, especially me. All right, let's ask more questions here.
Really quick, I got an interesting thought on this whole, and mine is less about Carhoff and more about tight end recruiting in general, to just kind of give you a tie-in what they're doing this cycle. So the positions that Ohio State is going to be very competitive at from a modern recruiting standpoint is defensive line, as we've already seen, offensive line, ideally one running back from Tennessee, three guesses who that is, potentially a quarterback if they find the one that they really like and there's some mutual interest there, and possibly another wide receiver to pair alongside Jameer Brown. That's really where the majority of your money is going to this cycle. And then maybe a little bit here and there at corners, because they've got a couple interesting prospects, some that could come in this weekend that we'll talk about on Thursday. But you know what position I didn't say? Tight end. And I wouldn't be surprised if they go the Nicolotta route this fall, where they wait three games, see who's kind of emerging from in class in Ohio or maybe somewhere a state bordering Ohio, and really look at a more of a developmental type guy. But I also wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they just don't take a tight end at all this cycle, because I just have not seen a lot of a desire to use much, if at all, resources on a high school tight end. Because going back to what you were saying, Dan, the Hunter Wilsons of the world, they've had success, the Will Kaczmarek's, bringing in these tight ends from the transfer portal. Even if Max Clare was a little bit of a disappointment compared to what you expected to get from a guy like that had 700 receiving yards on one of the worst Big Ten teams we've ever seen in Purdue, that, yeah, he still went in the day two. And
Max Clare got picked by the Rams.
Yes, for sure.
Like, shed no tears for Max Clare, people.
Like,
he's going to have a lot of fun playing football next year.
If you go to a complete 30,000-foot view of tight end, obviously Ohio State's top prospect for a while was Brock Williams. But the modern recruiting side of Brock Williams got to a level that far exceeded what they were comfortable with. I'll leave it.
Modern recruiting.
Yes, far
can be done from your phone.
Yes, far exceeded the level that they were comfortable for what they thought they were going to get in year one and year two if Brock came to Ohio State. But so I just, yeah, I'm paying attention to tight end recruiting because that's my job. But I wouldn't be surprised if tight end recruiting goes into the fall. Maybe you look at a in-state prospect that rises in the ranks the first three games of their senior film, really catches Keenan Bailey's eye. But again, I don't think it's impossible that they don't take a high school tight end this fall and then they just go and get one in the transfer portal again. And here's the other thing that we have to consider too, guys, and I'm just actually realizing this now that I'm saying it. Mason Williams, the Ohio tight end that they brought in from the Bobcats, this is supposed to be his last year, but if the 5-5 rule gets passed, that's a guy that automatically could get another year if he wanted to. And if he has a good year, I don't see why he wouldn't take it unless he is going to be a Will Kaczmarek and go in the day two, right? So feasibly, if that 5-5 rule by the NCAA gets passed, and by all accounts, that looks like the direction we're headed, that's another guy that could be another year that you weren't expecting a couple months ago.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race?
a rain delay. Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The right window treatments change everything. Your sleep, your privacy, the way every room looks and feels. At Blinds.com, we've spent 30 years making it surprisingly simple to get exactly what your home needs. We've covered over 25 million windows and have 50,000 five-star reviews to prove we deliver. Whether you DIY it or want a pro to handle everything from measure to install, we have you covered. Real design professionals, free samples, zero pressure. Right now, get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Plus, get a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I've been seeing Blue Tansy everywhere in skincare lately, but I actually discovered it through one of my favorite clean brands, Primally Pure. I didn't believe in natural deodorant until I tried their best-selling Blue Tansy deodorant. This one is actually clean, and it actually works. Blue Tansy is this really calming antioxidant that helps soothe irritation and inflammation, especially if your skin tends to react easily in areas like underarms. And what I love is that the same ingredient runs through their entire soothing collection, from facial mists when you need a little pick-me-up to their soothing spirulina face mask, packed with raw honey, kaolin clay, and wild-crafted botanicals. I've honestly never experienced anything like it. So if your skin has been feeling a little overwhelmed lately, return to calm with Primally Pure. Their Blue Tansy line is a beautiful place to start.
What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
As a woman entrepreneur, you know that every connection counts, whether it's with your customers, your team, or your community. Spectrum Business is here to help you build those connections stronger and faster. Imagine running your business with fast, reliable, fiber-powered internet so you can stay connected to customers, employees, and vendors without having to worry. We know flexibility matters. That's why select Spectrum Business packages come with a 3-year price guarantee, so you can focus on running your business. Plus, enjoy savings on internet, phone, TV, and mobile services when you bundle, all with a 30-day money-back guarantee and no long-term contracts. With Spectrum Business, you get more than just internet. You get support with 100% U.S.-based customer service, real people who understand small business, ready 24/7 to help you stay up and running. Join millions of business owners like you across America who trust Spectrum Business for reliability, speed, and support. Visit spectrum.com/business today to get started. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Nate Roberts probably arrived a little ahead of schedule, but you kind of want a bigger, older guy at tight end too, don't you think? Like, you're going to ask an 18-year-old go out there and block at 225, 235. Let him get in the weight room for a few years, come out there at like 245, 250 at 21 years old. I think you're more set to be that rugged tight end type. All right, I knew we were going to get this question. Let's make sure we keep this non-controversial because it's not ours. But we did discuss at length Chaz Coleman. Chaz Coleman was the Warren native who, fair to say, blew up at the end of his senior year of high school, was mostly a quarterback, got changed to athlete, tight end, defensive end, and then really blossomed, I think, showed some flashes at Penn State. And modern recruiting got involved. I think everybody, including all three of us, thought Chaz Coleman was going to be on Ohio State's team this year. And linking back to earlier themes of the show, Tennessee made sure that did not happen. What's happened after that has been nothing short of what seems to be a mess. He's not down there. You know, we have a great Tennessee site that's put out some really troubling whispers about him. We do have connections to the situation in terms of being in Ohio. Mark, I'm going to give you first crack at this. What do you think's going on? Now, I will say this, preface this, and you guys can, I have heard nothing about Ohio State getting back involved with Chaz Coleman. I don't believe that is taking place right now. It could be, but I've not heard anything about that. We're not addressing it from that stance. We're addressing it from, this is an Ohio guy. We talked about it at length on the show, and people are interested about it. Mark?
Well, Chaz was at the Warren Showcase a couple weeks ago when I was there, and he was standing there watching, supporting the, you know, the Warren Harding guys. And, you know, everyone walked over and said hi to him. And it kind of struck me as, what is he doing here? And then I looked at all the college programs that were there, and I'm like, if he's on his way to another stop, he just has to shake a few hands here and let people know that Tennessee wasn't a fit and whatever. Now, if everything was normal, that would be normal. But this doesn't seem normal. And I put Coach Richardson, the head coach of Warren Harding, on the spot, and I kind of asked him about the situation. And if you know anything about him, that guy will do anything for his kids, like most coaches. And that's fair to say about all of them. He pretty much told me, he's like, I've done everything I can. I've told them I will do anything I can. You know, he made sure, he's like, but this is beyond me now. You know, this is, that's, it's out of high school. You know, it's not something in my, it's not one of my children right now. And he'll always be one of my children, but he just didn't have the reins on this, or like, hey, I'm going to try to tell him to go back. Or it got, like you're saying, it was kind of weird. And that's how these rumors start, is because then you know, you're like, what is going on? Now, this is obvious too, and we're mastering the obvious today. This is damaged goods. You got $3 million to go play some football after you put some stuff on tape. This is a man's world where you got to show up and honor your contract. You blew that. Ohio State's not messing with you.
No way.
Nor should they. Okay. You've put yourself into a high volatile category, and that's not Ohio State. They don't need players like that. They don't make a living with players like that.
Especially now. Especially now that everyone's getting paid and you're in a salary cap
school. And I got news for you. This kid's not going to like what he gets at his next stop, because it's the veteran minimum or nothing. You've put yourself – how could anybody trust this kid with a check for $10 to go to McDonald's after he just took $3 million and set up in Warren? And I heard there's pictures with him of a new car, and there's more rumors. And it's like, okay, you take the money and run.
I saw the cash photo. I saw it.
Yeah.
The standard, you know. So.
And I think that's what makes – this for an interesting conversation. Message boards, love those types of pictures, love these situations. Love trying to get to the bottom of this, but this isn't something we're getting to the bottom of. It's just pictures are out there. The facts are out there. The talent is out there at a position where, I hate to use this, much like the stripper, there's always a guy that thinks, if I could just, you know, put my arm around her and give her three warm meals a day, she would
fix it.
I can fix it, you know, because she's really talented. And I think at a defensive end pass rushing position, there will be a team. There will be somebody. And maybe 2 years from now, you see him pop back up, rehabilitated and trustworthy, and people willing to fight for him. But right now, it's tough. How do you basically get that kind of money and then say, I'm not ready to put my hand in the dirt?
This guy's hilarious. Cam Buckeye was channeling what I was thinking. This is not risque statement. Everyone's been to a few bachelor parties. We just used to have a running joke at every single bachelor party. There's one guy who thinks he's going to turn the stripper, that we did. You guys don't know her. I had a 5-minute conversation. She's really into art or something, you know, something like, and it's like, dude, not the first rodeo. You're not that guy.
She really likes you, Dan. She really, really likes you.
It's you. No, you're the one. She's been to a billion bachelor parties. She's seen a million dudes. You're the one, you handsome devil. All right. Let's move on to something else. But let's just know this. This is a cautionary tale, but inevitable. Once the money went up to this level and you pay this many people, that's why I tell my kids sometimes, it's just math. You see all these kids riding around these motorized scooters now?
Oh,
pedestrians are getting tagged. There's just more scooters out there. A few pedestrians are going to get tagged. It's math.
How about the kids that are going to get tagged, which is even sadder?
That's on them. They got on the bike. I'm just talking the collateral damage people get caught up in it. Now they're on the sidewalks. Then the right of way has gone the way of the dodo. So, yeah, hello. She's nice to everyone, bro. Correct. She takes tips. Anyway, let's not aggregate that.
Let's not clip that for the bosses, anybody.
Let's move on to a much more appealing topic, and that is the commitment of Angelo Smith. The first commitment in the class a while back, people probably don't even remember it. They do remember this. He is the brother of one Jeremiah Smith. Different profile, obviously. Not quite the same size by any stretch, but tough dude. Mark, your thoughts as we Buckeye in the sky, Angelo Smith.
Yeah, you touched on the basics, and I wish he wasn't the brother of Jeremiah Smith so he could get a more neutral evaluation. I think when you say, brother of Jeremiah Smith, most people who are listening are like, okay, tell us about this 6'4", 220-pound werewolf that's now playing linebacker or defensive end or something, or can we put him on the other side of his brother? And you're right. It's just not the same person. It's a totally different evaluation. So, you know, right from the jump, I think people go, oh, he's not Jeremiah. And nobody in the entire country is Jeremiah. He's probably one of the highest paid NIL guys in the entire country. He's truly a werewolf. But let's do an evaluation on him and talk about him as a defensive back and put him in his realm or give him a fair chance. And I tell you what, I started off with his hitting ability. And I was looking to see if I could find anywhere where he's more than 170 pounds right now. Because he's bringing all 170 pounds to the party when he comes up on these. I think he's going to eventually get bigger. And if you're going to be bigger and hit like this at 170, you'll be okay in the Big Ten if we can get you to 190. He's feisty. He's quick. He's going to be, we would always use this word, versatile. I think he could be a nickel. You're seeing him coming across there. And, I mean, he flies to the ball. If you guys remember, there was a guy at Iowa, Bob Sanders, went to the Colts. This isn't Bob Sanders. Bob Sanders, yeah, he was probably got to 220, but this is what that reminds me of. He runs around like a little Bob Sanders. Now, you're going to see him make some plays on the ball here where he's going to go make some interceptions. He looks like a receiver, and he's not short on speed. So I don't know if he's going to be an over-the-top safety or an in-the-box safety, but I think he might be a corner. I think here's the wide receiver skills, and that just looks like his brother. So he's a very talented, versatile player. You know, not afraid to hit you or put his hat on the ball.
He's running in straight lines, dude.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Bob Sanders angle. I mean, he is fearless. So let's forget the name. Let's do an honest evaluation as a defensive back. If this kid's 185, 190, we're okay with it at a couple different positions. But you're right. This is one of those evaluations where I think when you read message boards, you don't give him the, oh, my gosh, he's a werewolf. And we've seen so many werewolves that it, you know, come on, guys. They're not all going to be werewolves. I'm the first one to say we just can't keep anointing this. This is a great football player, okay? Yeah. It just – and if he's Jeremiah's brother, I want him on the team too if Jeremiah does. That's the way I would do this for these guys. All that Jeremiah's done and then what you see on film here and what you can kind of plug in, I think we're okay here.
Will he actually come to the Buckeyes, Garrick? There's a certain former coach who knows a little about Florida recruiting who's gotten involved. Can you bring us up to speed?
Yeah. Not too much has trickled out of that visit, but Angelo did just take a official visit to USF and hung out with Brian Hartline for a weekend. This isn't the first time that we've heard about Angelo Smith in USF. Zach Blostein does a tremendous job covering the state of Florida for 247 Sports. Kind of brought Buck Nutters aware of that in the spring that USF was going to take a run at Angelo. Asked around a little bit at the time, and the vibe I got was, yeah, well, we'll see. Let's see how it goes. He's going to be back on campus a few more times. He's going to be back on campus a lot because, you know, he happens to have a older brother who's the face of college football. So I think we're going to be okay getting him around here. Could he ultimately flip? I mean, I don't discount it. Brian Hartline would do a lot for his new fan base if he could, you know, what do schools like Louisville and all that stuff do? They love to get a win in the belt against Ohio State.
Right? Correct. Good point. And
Brian Hartline obviously has a tremendous relationship with the Smith family. Like, that's one of the main reasons that Jeremiah came here in the first place, right? So his family is very in tune with what Brian Hartline's like and the comfortability there. And obviously it's much closer to home than Ohio State is. And as you saw on the film, Angelo is a very talented player in his own right. If there was any concern on his game, it would definitely be his size. Needs to get a little bit bigger, and they would probably like it if he was maybe an inch or two taller. But hell of a football player either way. I think that Ohio State is certainly going to do everything that they can to keep Angelo in the class, and he's going to be back on campus this weekend. So they will kind of reassess everything and tell him that he's still a priority to them in this class and that they still hope to develop him and get him in the system. But if USF suddenly gets a monopoly man, Mr. Moneybags, I don't necessarily know that Ohio State is going to fight tooth and nail if things go to that direction. Yes.
Classic fair to assume he's a tier one guy for South Florida.
For
not
South
a
Florida,
tier one guy for Ohio State.
Correct, yes.
So the modern recruiting digits lie there in the nether regions. All right. Appreciate everybody stopping by. You got a minute of free content. Have a good one, Nutters of...
On a new season of SkyMed.
I need fluids and an ambulance standing by.
The crew balances new responsibilities, new rescues, and new recruits.
We take care of our own. Clear?
Clear.
SkyMed, new season, now streaming on Paramount+.